I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. Today we are talking with Jim Healy this hour about the 15th Annual Wisconsin Film Festival. It kicked off just last night and continues through April 18th. Jim Healy is the Director of Programming for the Film Festival, and he's also the Director of Programming for UW's Cinematheque. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the Film Festival, I have to say, is one of my favorite annual events going on, and I did get started last night with a screening of the documentary I Am Divine about the transvestite actress, singer, and John Waters' muse, Divine, which was great. And I have to say, every year I am just surprised and thrilled by the energy in the room at a film festival screening.
Yeah, it's really nice. People just come up and shake my hand before and say, thanks for the festival. And, you know, there's a lot of people to thank. And, you know, I let them know. But it's you can feel a very positive kind of vibe going on in there. And it's just a warm concentration. It was such a kind of dreary, wet day yesterday. And here we all were, you know, about 300 of us gathered to see this movie. And
getting warmed up by the fabulousness of Divine.
Exactly. Yeah, the laughs just came fast and furious
it was
in that
great.
Film. He's such a Divine was such a energetic person and
larger than life
larger
in every
life,
sense.
Yeah, and funny and just completely energizing personality too. So it helped that the movie was so much fun.
So this is, as we said, the 15th year of the film festival, and
yes,
it has just grown tremendously in that time. How did it start?
Well, the history of the festival here on campus was about 15 years ago. We decided they needed one here, and the university became more involved shortly after that. And it's become, you know, the largest campus-based film festival in the country. There's no other university in the country
Wow.
that offers a festival this size and scope.
And speaking of size and scope, how many films are being shown this year?
There's about 150 individual titles, short films and features, and I think there's 95 individual programs that you can buy tickets to, most of which are showing at least twice, sometimes three or four times.
And what were you trying to achieve with this year's film lineup?
Well, always, I think the idea is to bring an awareness to films that would otherwise be off the radar of the commercial film circuit, you know, movies that bombard you with ads and you know, on the sides of buses and on the sides of cereal boxes and on television and radio, and that really are the height of the art today. So independently made features and documentaries that demonstrate the best in the art form, you know, in the last year or so, contemporary films. And then a number of what we call restorations and rediscoveries that create a dialogue both with the films of the present that are in the festival and also films that are just kind of in the public's consciousness right now. For example, the Spaghetti Western series we're running is an extension of a series we're doing at the Cinematheque all spring, and it will actually continue after the festival. But the reason we did it was because Django Unchained created such an interest in these films, which so inspired Quentin Tarantino.
Talk a little more about Spaghetti Westerns people that aren't familiar
with
that.
Yeah, of course. These are European co-productions from the 50s, from the 1960s and 70s. Now, by that I mean the nations, the producing interests from various nations got together to make these films. In the case of the Spaghetti Westerns, it was mostly Italy, but also Spain. The crews and the talent of these films, the writers, directors, tended to be Italian. The locations and the technical crews in the film tended to be in Spain. These are Westerns set in the American West, filmed in the Almeria mountain region of Spain, and cast with usually American actors in the lead who either hadn't quite achieved stardom yet or were of a kind of like a known to have roles in many Westerns. So, for example, Lee Van Cleef is an American actor who's in three of the Westerns we're showing, who is basically a second supporting actor, villain in numerous Hollywood Westerns of the 50s and 60s. And then Sergio Leone cast him in For a Few Dollars More in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And he had a career in Italy for the next 10 or 15 years making these movies. Clint Eastwood, of course, launched his career with a trilogy of films directed by Sergio Leone, one of which, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, is in the film festival. They were very different Westerns in that they tended, because they were made in Europe, they tended to take a much more critical view of American history, you know, because they were made at a distance. And so you have different views of subjects like the Civil War, in some cases, slavery, the use of guns, the bounty hunters of the Old West, the kind of the price of life in these films. It tends to be a running theme in these movies. There's one film we're showing today called The Hellbenders, which stars Joseph Cotten, who was then a kind of, you know, fading leading man in Hollywood, but he found a lot of work in Europe, and he plays a colonel for the South during the Civil War, after the Civil War, who is roaming through the desert with his sons with a plot to raise the money to bring the Confederate Army back again. And he keeps a cache of money in a coffin that he carries, which ostensibly holds one of his dead sons, but actually has all this money, which he's going to use to bring back the South. It's a really intense good film directed by Sergio Corbucci, who is Tarantino's avowed inspiration on Django Unchained.
Well, and I think those spaghetti westerns are really interesting, too, because Europeans, as you said, because they are on the outside, have a more critical eye to American history. On the other hand, they have this deep fascination with the American West and Native Americans. And so it's this really interesting combination of the two.
Yes, the actual history of the West, but also the style of the American Western. And so you see these kind of operatic, larger-than-life recreations of what directors like Anthony Mann was doing in Hollywood, or John Ford.
And we are talking with Jim Healy. He is the programming director for the Wisconsin Film Festival. And the film festival kicked off last night and goes for 8 days. And we'll talk about what that's like, expanding a film festival to that amount of time, Jim. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in today for Joy Cardine. And we would love to hear from you. Are you going to the Wisconsin Film Festival this year? What are you planning to see? And maybe you've already seen a selection last night. We'd love to have you call in and give us your review. You can call 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can leave a question or comment on our Facebook page. That's The Joy Cardine Show. And so we've talked about the spaghetti westerns as one of the thematic areas in the festival this year. Jim, what other themes do you have going on?
Well, there are a number of films from Switzerland this year. We have a special selection. You know, we don't say, okay, this year we're going to do Switzerland, or last year we had a particularly strong group of films from Iran. It just turns out that way. And actually, I should give special credit to Mike King, who's a senior programmer of the festival, who does just as much programming for the festival as I do, in kind of recognizing these international trends. And so we have a number of films this year from the French-speaking portion of Switzerland, a few documentaries and some feature films that really show a great burst of talent coming from that part of the world at this time. And next year it could be, you know, another region of the world that we put the spotlight on. But then there are little things that kind of pop up. I call them twofers, you know, they're in the festival, that, you know, things that kind of relate to each other in a way. For example, we have two classics starring Douglas Fairbanks this year. The festival's bookended with Shakespeare adaptations. There are other little things we put in the festival schedule, films we feel relate well to each other, and there are opportunities to see them back to back. So, for example, beginning late Monday afternoon, we have a British documentary called The Moo Man, which is about one of the last organic cow farmers in England, about a guy who has a real simply run business. And it's immediately followed by another documentary called Muscles in Love, which is everything you want to know about the muscle, not the ones in your body, the ones
you eat.
Yes.
And going back to those restorations, I think one of the amazing things about the film festival is that you can see these great old films restored and on a big screen, which is really unusual.
Exactly. Well, I like to think of it. Some people say old movies, new movies. I like to think that there are no old movies or new movies. There are either movies you've seen or movies you haven't seen. And in some cases, there are films that we all kind of know and maybe we've seen before on television, things like that. But there's nothing like seeing The Thief of Baghdad with Douglas Fairbanks.
That's
for instance,
on my schedule.
Out of picture, good. Or The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing beats the experience of seeing it on a giant screen with an audience around you. And that in itself is an exclusive fun experience that you can have at this festival.
And I think the idea of being part of the audience is something that, you know, we've gotten so used to being able to see almost anything, not everything, but almost anything we want at home, you know, streaming or, you know, getting a DVD or, you know, even on some of the movie channels. It's easy to think, oh, you know, why would I go out and, you know, like last night stand in, you know, freezing drizzle, waiting to get in, you know, things like that. But there really is something about that energy and being part of that audience.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's the other thing about watching things at home, it gives us the instantaneous kind of gratification of seeing something. We hit a button and it starts streaming, or we pop in a disc and it starts running. This is appointment viewing. And there's something just rewarding in that itself, and saying, I'm going to see this film. It starts at this time. I'm going to be there. We always start on time, by the way. So, you know, you have to make an appointment, but you won't be delayed. I guarantee that. And, you know, and as far as waiting outside, we're hoping the weather perks up a little bit here, but, you know, at three of our screens at Sundance, you can wait comfortably warm inside.
Least,
yes, exactly. And at least one of our venues downtown has, on campus here, has indoor waiting areas.
We're talking with Jim Healy, the programming director for the Wisconsin Film Festival. The festival started last night and goes for 8 days. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in today for Joy Cardine. And we are back with Jim Healy. He is the programming director of the Wisconsin Film Festival. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Joy Cardine today and taking a look at the weather. There's a winter storm warning in effect for Douglas and Bayfield counties and a winter weather advisory in effect for the northern half of Wisconsin. Yes, this is April 12th that we were talking about winter storm warnings. And flood warnings remain in effect for portions of central and southeastern Wisconsin, as well as Green and Rock counties. In statewide weather, it'll be cloudy today with snow in the north, chance of rain in the south, highs today ranging from the low to mid-30s in the north to the low 40s in the south, and cloudy skies tonight with a chance of snow statewide. Snow may be mixed with rain in the south, overnight lows from about 20 in the northwest to 30 in the southeast. And we are talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival going on right now. So, Jim, it is 8 days this time. That's
days. Yeah, I mean, it used to be four, and then it went to five for a while, and we're eight this year. The kind of layout map of the festival has changed a bit. We used to be at several venues right off of the Capitol Square near State Street, and we didn't have a large venue available to us this year, we decided to move the festival off that part of State Street to the campus. The two screens at the Chazen Museum, it was an auditorium in the old Elvium, and then the Chazen, the new auditorium there, across the street at Vilas Hall, which is the regular home of the Cinematheque, and then at the Marquee Theater at Union South. Our main downtown and campus venues this year. They're right off of State Street. But they're smaller houses, and we don't have the Union Theater available to us this year or the Orpheum. So we we had the opportunity to have a full week at the Sundance Cinemas, and this allowed us the opportunity to kind of have the same amount of programming, but I guess stretch it out, thin it out a little bit, and repeat films several times and kind of compensate for not having the larger house, be able to do films on campus and at Sundance, so people have their choice of where they want to go. This also, we've discovered, has kind of relieve the pressure a little bit off our audiences in that it's not so concentrated anymore with, nine screens over 5 days or 10 screens over 5 days. It's now 7 screens over 8 days. And this gives our audience a break from what we call the heartbreakers of film festival, where you have, you know, 9 films running at once,
right,
and you want to see 5 of them and you have to make a hard decision. So it gives people actually a chance to see quite a bit more. You can do, several films a day. When we move to the Sundance theaters next Monday, we'll be there exclusively Monday through Thursday on 3 screens. Screenings start around between 1 and 2 o'clock, and you can do 4 movies in a row at Sundance if you're game.
if you have the stamina.
it's something I love doing, but anyway, it's a chance to do the festival every day and see dozens of films.
Which is really great. I mean, I have tickets for 10 movies and hoping to rush for an 11th, and we'll talk about the whole idea of rush tickets.
Sure.
But I almost felt like I was slacking because most days I only have 1 film. There's a day that I don't have any, and even on the weekends I only have 2 a day. And it used to be, that you were like, okay, if I really pace this out and if I eat in line, you know, I can make 5 movies
pack
on Saturday. But you don't have to do that this time around. It's really nice.
You don't have to do it, but of course we're happy to accommodate anyone who wants to do that still and see five a day.
You can still do it. Well, we would love to have you join the conversation. Are you planning to go to the film festival? Have you gone in the past? Maybe you've never gone in and it feels a little intimidating. I'm sure Jim would be happy to give you some pointers for the novice film festival attendee. You can join in by calling 800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or leave a question or a comment on our Facebook page, and that's The Joy Cardine Show. Let's go to Kathy in Sun Prairie. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to say thank you. This is such an awesome venue. And last year was my first year at Wisconsin Film Festival. We saw Compliance. It was very, very powerful.
Yes, it is.
My question is, if we're unable to attend a film, are they available for viewing after in some sort of rental or on campus?
Well, it depends. Some of the films will be re-released later. We had a very high demand for a film that is on our closing night on the 18th. It's a new adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing, directed by Joss Whedon, who is the director of last year's most financially popular film, The Avengers. But this is a very low-budget black-and-white adaptation of Shakespeare's comedy that he filmed at his own house while he was waiting for The Avengers to come out. And he has a huge cult following, less because of The Avengers and more because of the television shows he's produced. And it's sold out, I think, within 45 minutes of our tickets going on sale. Now, this is a movie that's going to be released nationally in June, and the distributor wanted to create festival buzz for it by getting it out there and letting people preview it this way and showing it to, you know, high-minded cinephiles at festivals and smart audiences at festivals, and so they're creating promotion for the film, and this is a movie that will come out. Several other films have distribution plans that, you know, might mean a theatrical release in some theaters. It kind of depends on what kind of word of mouth gets out there, or could mean a DVD release or a streaming on Netflix release in the future, but it's hard to say at this point. You can't really promise anything.
You can kind of hedge your bets on a few of them.
Yeah,
if there's a
yeah.
big star in it or something, you think, there's a pretty good chance. But again, because there are multiple screenings and because it's over so many days now, it's not, you don't have to be making those bets with yourself.
Yeah,
too
that's
much.
Right. We're not always given as programmers the exact information of when and where or if something will be available later in the future. Our idea is to get it out there with and to be shown on a big screen with an audience, and that's what makes it so special.
And I did notice actually that room 237, which is about The Shining and all the theories about the meanings buried in
wonderful,
the movie The Shining.
Wonderful movie.
That sold out really quickly.
Sold out fairly quickly, yeah.
But that's going to be on the screening room calendar at
Sundance. It's coming out at
great.
Sundance like a month later.
Yeah.
But here's an exclusive for you. Room 237, our screening has the director in person, Rodney Asher. Immediately following the screening, we have a very special and extremely fun program called Visions of Comedy and Terror. It's a short program of shorts directed by Rodney Asher and a number of other shorts written by and starring his sometime collaborator, Josh Fadem, who's an actor who's appeared on 30 Rock and a comedian. They are both going to be in person, and that is immediately following the Room 237 screening next Wednesday at 9:15 at Sundance, and tickets are still available for that.
All
so,
right.
And I highly recommend that program.
Okay. Well, so there is an added incentive to try to get to it at the film festival, yeah. But also, for instance, there's a World War II drama called Lore, and that's also going to be showing
That's coming up at Sundance also. And some of the films I know will be available, I'm sure, on DVD, but see them in a theater. That's the way to see them.
It's a great way to do it. So we talked about the Josh Wen adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing. What other films are getting a whole lot of buzz this summer?
Well, I think easily the most popular film at our festival, the only one we had four screenings of, is 56 Up, which is just sold out. It's Saturday. Our added Saturday screening yesterday. So this is the latest in a series of wonderful and moving documentaries by Michael Apted, who's a commercial filmmaker who's made everything from Coal Miner's Daughter to James Bond movies. This is a project he's been working on since 1964, where he was an assistant on a short documentary interviewing seven-year-olds on a playground in England from all different walks of life and economic backgrounds. He returned to revisit them 7 years later at 14, and then has since gone back and talked to them every 7 years. This is the latest edition, and one of the subjects of the film is a professor here at the university.
Wow.
Nick Hitchin.
So there's a real Wisconsin connection, if you wouldn't think so.
It's an acclaimed series of documentaries and also Wisconsin's own film.
Jim, before we go to the news, why don't you give people the website for the film festival so they can get a sense of that's going on?
And you can also buy tickets at wifilmfest.org.
We are talking with Jim Healy. He is the director of programming for the Wisconsin Film Festival and also the director of programming for the UW Cinematheque. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, sitting in today for Joy Cardine. We will continue talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival and all of the great offerings after this look at the news from NPR and WPR. Stay with us. It is time for Wisconsin Life. From March 2012 through March 2013, photographer Mark Hirsch took daily photos on his iPhone of a bur oak tree near his Platteville home. That tree, as the project became known, attracted followers from around the world. Hirsch shares how his project and how the tree changed him.
If people, if they look at my pictures and they see the precarious existence this tree lives under, I mean, that it's there to this day is an absolute miracle. You know, it's on the fringe of a monoculture of corn and soybeans. The farmer has to work to get his combine around it. But I look at that tree and I look at the fact that it's still there, and I always had a great appreciation for the land and I loved it, but I never looked at bur oaks with the same level of appreciation that I have today. And there's a great Aldo Leopold quote that I can't recite to you right now, but it talks about being a wealthy man, he who has a bur oak on their property. And I read that and I just think it's so true. Lucius Lyons was the surveyor that was sent by the Federal Land Survey in 1834 to survey that property, and he was a really creative writer and a really articulate surveyor, and that his observations and his appreciation for the land, it really comes through with the way he described things. And I'm reading this and he's talking about oak savanna and he's talking about oak trees. He's using trees as points of reference. And here I am today. Now, it's not a witness oak. It wasn't there when Lucius Lyons was there, because since that time, then a geologist came out and did a core sample and determined that the tree is 163 years old, but still it's a very old oak tree, and it's witnessed an incredible era in Wisconsin's history following the title and ownership of that property. And the first owner of that property was John Hawkins Roundtree, and who's pretty famous in Wisconsin history. I think he's essentially responsible for forming Platteville. And reading this, I mean, I'm just, it's incredible. It's a beautiful tree. I mean, it's just got a lovely form to it. Every day was a fresh view for about 2 weeks. Then it started looking the same. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself into? How am I gonna carry this forward? I've never looked so long and hard and considered at anything in my life. And the outcome is so many cool discoveries. I mean, I'd been seeing the world through kind of blinders. And I started to slow down. Something the people that know me would say I'm not very good at. I tend to move at Mach speed. And this whole process, you know, was kind of transformative. I became more contemplative about my goals visually. I became more observant. I became more emotionally attached to the realm in and around this tree. As a 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kid, I wouldn't have hesitated to roll around in the grass. I wouldn't have hesitated to look closely at a bug. I wouldn't have hesitated to appreciate the way that the hoarfrost forms on the ridge of an oak leaf laying in the grass. But you become an adult, and that's unacceptable behavior, social norms. But my perception now is in the reverse, that it made me feel comfortable living my life and acting like a kid again. And to heck with anybody else that doesn't realize that they should be doing the same.
And you can see photos from Hirsch's That Tree Project on wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, you can visit the website wisconsinlife.org and find Wisconsin Life on Facebook. Well, we are going to move from talking about photos back to talking about films. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, sitting in for Joy Cardine today. Glad you could join us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Healy is director of programming for the Wisconsin Film Festival. He's also the director of programming for the UW Cinematheque. And Jim, why don't you say a word or two about what the Cinematheque is for people that don't know?
The Cinematheque is mostly year-round program. We're in session when school is in session here on campus, and then for usually one month, 6 weeks during the summer. This is a free year-round repertory film program showcases series of films, usually grouped together by director or actor or thematic subject, that screens in 4070 Vilas Hall, which is one of the regular venues of the film festival, on Friday and Saturday evenings, and also now on Sundays at the Chazen Museum of Art in their new auditorium. So, for example, this spring we're doing a series of Spaghetti Western, which extends into the festival and then continues at the Cinematheque after the festival. And we're also doing a series of animated films from Studio Ghibli every Sunday at the Chazen. These are animated features from Tokyo. And in the festival, one of our films is Grave of the Fireflies, which is the only collaboration between Studio Ghibli and Toho Studios in Japan. And this is a wonderful animated feature. And so the Cinematheque is films usually shown in their original exhibition format, which means 35mm prints, and all of our screenings are free and open to the public.
Which is great. So, and I'm assuming there's a website where people can find more information.
Yes, that's cinema.wisc.edu.
Great.
Cinema.wisc.edu.
And definitely check that out. But right now, check out the Wisconsin Film Festival, which is going on right now through next Thursday. And we'd love to hear from you. Have you been to the film festival before? Is there a movie that really stands out in your memory as something that you wouldn't have seen otherwise and are so glad that you did? Or maybe you're coming to the film festival this year. What's on your list? Have you bought all your tickets in advance, or do you like that rush of trying to get tickets day of? We'd love to hear from you. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post something on our Facebook page. That's The Joy Cardine Show. And Cardine is spelled C-A-R-D-I-N. Well, Jim, let's talk about, for people who have never come to the film festival, it can sound exciting and a little overwhelming to
Sure.
figure out how it works. So what's the best way as a new person to enjoy the film festival?
My feeling is if you're coming for the first time, to look at the guide either on our website or grab a copy that's around town of the printed guide. Find something that that you have a reaction to that makes you think that I might be interested in that. I think that's the first thing to do, and you will find something. I guarantee it. There's, as we said, 150 different films, get a ticket for that film. You can either do that in advance, or you can come up and buy one at the door before the screening. And then you're not doing the festival, I think, unless you're doing multiple films. So my advice is then take a chance and see something that is immediately preceding it or immediately following
it. You're there anyway.
You're there, and then you're doing the festival, and that's a big part of what the festival is discovery, seeing something that. Maybe you might not normally go and see and take the time to see.
And probably didn't know existed until you picked up the guide.
That's right. It's a way of being, connected with your community and other movie lovers and the university community, the area, the state, and also with connecting with the world. We have films from all points of the world. We have films filmed in Iceland. We have North Korean, South Korean movies. And it's a way to just experience what's going on today in the world and to experience the very best in the art form right now.
So if someone goes to the website and thinks or looks in the guide and thinks, right. Oh, I really want to see that movie. And then they go on the website and it says sold out.
Right, right.
They shouldn't necessarily take that as
no,
I'm not going to see it.
For almost every screening, a certain number of tickets are released just before we begin. We have what we call rush lines, and you can take a spot in these lines, I think anywhere from 2 hours to 15 minutes before the screening begins, depending on what is available to you. So if there's something you want to see, please arrive. We had full houses last night, but I spotted empty seats in just about all of them. My feeling is there's always an empty seat for someone who really wants to see something. So if you show up and you're diligent, you will get in. And in many cases, there are tickets still available. You can just walk right up and buy one. You don't have to get in a rush line and wait. You can just get yourself a ticket and then just make sure you come back 15 minutes before it starts and take your seat.
And if you do have a ticket, you want to get there early enough so that your seat doesn't get released.
Yeah, that's right. And some screenings are extremely popular. And if you get there, if you have a ticket, I do encourage you. We must insist on you getting there 15 minutes beforehand. Otherwise, the seat could be released and sold to somebody waiting in the rush line. So.
And we are going to continue talking with Jim Healy. He is the director of programming for the Wisconsin Film Festival, which is going on right now. And I am Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And here is a weather update for you for this Friday, April 12th. There's a winter storm warning in effect for Douglas and Bayfield counties and a winter weather advisory in effect for the northern half of Wisconsin. Flood warnings remain in effect for portions of central and southeastern Wisconsin, as well as Green and Rock counties. And looking statewide, it'll be cloudy today with snow in the north. There's a chance of rain in the south. Highs today ranging from the low to mid-30s in the north to the low 40s in the south. And tonight, cloudy skies with a chance of snow statewide. Snow may be mixed with rain in the south. Overnight lows from about 20 in the northwest to 30 in the southeast. And coming up next hour, we will be talking with Daniel Post-Senning. He is the author of Manners in a Digital World, Living Well Online. He is from the Emily Post Institute. And I also want to let you know that Ann Strainchamp's on 45 North coming up today after 10. We'll talk to Joel Schroeder about his film, Dear Mr. Watterson, which is showing on Monday, April 15th, during the Film Fest. And we are talking about the Film Fest right now with Jim Healy. He is the director of programming for the Wisconsin Film Festival. And Jim, let's go to the phones and hear what Bert in Madison has to say. Hi, Bert.
Hi. I saw The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo at the Orpheum, which was packed to the rafters, and I thought that was really great. I also want to mention that the Orpheum, I mean, the Cinémathèque in Paris basically has a film festival that runs year-round, and they've got directors coming in and talking. Once I saw John Frankenheimer come in and say that he really wanted to cast Gene Hackman in the lead role in To Kill a Mockingbird, but he settled on Gregory Peck. And so I thought that was pretty interesting.
Great. Thanks for that, Bert.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of filmmakers in person here at the festival. In fact, not just directors. We have a very special guest this weekend, a very noted and accomplished actor named Michael Murphy, who's here to present three different films. Murphy worked with all kinds of directors. I don't know that he ever worked with Frankenheimer, but he's most celebrated for his collaborations with Robert Altman. He did many, many films with Altman, and most importantly, they did a television series for HBO in the late 80s called Tanner 88, where he played a fictional presidential candidate acting side by side with all the real candidates in that year's election, including Michael Dukakis and,
wow.
and even Pat Robertson. And he's a wonderful actor who's, you know, one of those guys you recognize. He's been in countless things. So we're showing today one of his collaborations with Altman, a very weird movie from 1970 called Brewster McCloud, which is extremely funny, oddball movie about birds, and it stars Bud Cort as Brewster, who's trying to create wings to fly out of the Houston Astrodome, and Murphy plays a cop who's hot on his trail. Tomorrow we're showing a science fiction film, which is the only movie ever directed by Saul Bass, the great credits and graphic designer. Bass made a science fiction film in 1974 called Phase 4. It's one of the few films Murphy was a leading man in. It's a terrific film about ants that gain intelligence and try to take over the world. And then Sunday, we're showing probably the best-known feature film that Murphy ever appeared in, which is Woody Allen's Manhattan, where he plays Woody Allen's best friend, Yale, who introduces him to the Diane Keaton character.
Great. Well, thanks for that call, Bert. And I'm 99% sure that Bert is talking about the original Swedish Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yes, which premiered at the festival, I think, in 2010 here in Madison.
Which is an amazing, amazing movie. So
Yeah. Epic length procedural.
Yes. Right? Wonderful movie. Well, thanks for that, Bert. And we would love to hear from you. If you've been to the film festival before, what's the movie that stands out in your memory? What are you seeing this year? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jim, I think we mentioned it in passing earlier, but one thing that I think is really special about going to a festival like the Wisconsin Film Festival is the shorts that are shown.
Sure.
And those are not things that you can usually find necessarily for streaming or watching on TV. And often you have, you know, collections of shorts together to make a whole screening. I think especially letting people know about Wisconsin's own shorts. I mean, these are short films that have been made in Wisconsin by Wisconsin folks. And those are really, you're not going to find that anywhere else.
That's right. Most of the shorts in the festival are part of our Wisconsin's Own strand, which is a submissions-based process. So starting late the summer before the festival, we start receiving DVD screening copies and submissions from filmmakers all over the state and many from outside the state. These are films that are made by either Wisconsin natives or made in Wisconsin using Wisconsin locations. And we bring a number of them to the festival, both in short film programs, and many are showing before feature films
right.
this year.
Like last night. There
last
was
night
one.
We had a student film called Flog Therapy, which ran before I Am Divine, which was made by an undergraduate student here named Ayla Larson. She showed the film in the Communications Arts Showcase at the Cinémathèque last year, which is an end-of-the-year program for students to show their work that they produced over the semester, and we were quite taken with it and showed it. There was another film in that program by Billy Johnson that shows the University Zoological Research Collections, and that's showing with a feature documentary called The Final Member. So there are things all over. Dear Mr. Watterson, which you mentioned, is directed by Joel Schroeder, who grew up in Appleton. He lives in Los Angeles now, but he returned to Wisconsin and a bunch of other locations around the country to tell the story of Calvin and Hobbes, the comic strip. And it's wide fan base, which stretches, mm-hmm. and why the comic strip has endured for so long, nearly 20 years after it stopped appearing in daily newspapers.
It's been that long.
Yeah, 1995. Wow. And it only ran for 10 years. And Watterson just completely, became a recluse.
That's
and
so interesting.
When nobody really knows what he's been up to. Mm. And the movie's not about trying to find Watterson. It's just literally a love letter to him and to Calvin and Hobbes and finding people to talk about what made the strip so special.
And again, that's showing on Monday.
Our second screening is Monday. Our first screening is Sunday afternoon around 4 at the Marquee Theater at Union South. The Monday screening is at Sundance. Both screenings are sold out, but it's a wonderful, wonderful movie. And, we encourage people to try the Rush Line for that one.
And again, give people the website for the
website
film fest.
Website is wifilmfest.org.
And talking about the shorts, I think if people haven't seen shorts, it's hard to imagine how complete a story you can really tell in 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes. It's really amazing.
Absolutely. And I think it's that kind of time constraint that makes them so unique. I've seen short films that fail because they're trying to ape a feature film in 30 minutes
right.
or 15 minutes or whatever. But these are usually observational, little fragments that in their way are very complete from start
to
finish.
They're like short stories compared to a War and Peace length novel.
Exactly. I mean, but a lot of short stories you can stretch out to feature length if you want to tell them in a feature. But these are really compact little films, And they jump you right into the action and mm-hmm. then take you out almost as quickly. And they're wonderful. They're wonderful to see. And as you said, these are things that are very hard to catch up with
right.
after the festival. These are things that are made for festival mm-hmm. viewing experiences.
So go out and see some shorts. So we talked about some of the films that are getting a lot of buzz this year. What about the ones that are kind of flying under the radar? Like you said, one of the great things about festivals is, taking that chance. Why not? Go to the one before the movie you were planning on going to or stay for the one after.
One that comes to mind right away, which I highly recommend, is an animated feature. It's actually a kind of an animated memoir called Approved for Adoption. It's a Belgian production, French-Belgian production. It's about a Korean orphan who was adopted by a Belgian family in the 1970s, and his experiences growing up as the one adopted child in a family of I think 3 or 4 kids. And it's based on a graphic novel by an artist named Jung, who adapted the film himself, co-directed the film himself, and actually appears in certain live-action sequences of the film. But it's beautifully animated and very touching. It doesn't tell a strict narrative. It's little episodes from the life that kind of add up to a collective experience, like reading a memoir.
Right.
And it's a wonderful, moving film, some very funny moments in it. And that will be preceded by a short film called Blood Brothers, which is one of our Wisconsin's Own selections, directed by Jonathan Leslie Quam. It's a wonderful program, and that's today and tomorrow. It's screening. It's one I hope people get a chance to see.
That's great. And again, if you've never seen a mature animation
that's
film,
right, that's
it's
right.
not, this isn't a Saturday morning
no,
cartoon.
No, it's not necessarily. I think younger audiences would appreciate the film. I'd say maybe 10 and over. It's not a Disney piece of animation. It's very personal and very mature kind of filmmaking. It's like a lot of the great contemporary graphic novels, which it's adapted from. Its primary audience aim is adults, mature audiences.
You mentioned kids appreciating something like that. Are there some other features that you think would be good for families?
Yes. We have another animated film in the festival called The Painting, which is a French film about a painting that comes to life. It's a lot of fun. And also, I can't recommend highly enough, a great way to introduce your kids to silent cinema. Take them to see The Thief of Baghdad on Sunday. It's just filled with delights and visual wonders.
Well, Jim Healy, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning, and I will see you at the festival.
Thanks. See you around.
Jim Healy is director of programming for the Wisconsin Film Festival. He is also the director of programming for the UW Cinematheque. The film festival runs through next Thursday, so plenty of time to take advantage of the great offerings. You can go to wifilmfest.org to get more information. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, sitting in for Joy Cardine today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope you'll stay with us. There's a lot more in store, so stay tuned.